In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The living water that Jesus Christ spoke to the Samaritan woman about was prophesied in the Old Testament. From the time of the beginning, the time recorded in the book of Genesis, life had to do with a divine moisture, a divine water, a water not of this world, the source of life. When God created us, He took dust from the earth and He breathed upon the dust. And when we breathe, there is moisture in our breath. And the reference to the breath of God is a reference to the moisture, the life that is in the Holy Spirit. God breathed His life into the dust that He had taken from the ground in order to create human beings. We are made of dust, and this divine moisture, this water that comes from the mouth of God Himself, not simply a clay made of the dust of the earth and the water of this world, but dust and the breath of God. And after the fall in the garden, that is what we thirst for. We thirst for that life that can only come from the moist, living breath of God Himself. And we try to slake our thirst with the waters of this world, with the pleasures of this world. But always we have to come back again, because the breath of the enemy of God is dry, and it gives us thirst. The more we drink of the waters and the pleasures of this world, the greater is our desire. They cause in us the need to return again and again and again to the pleasures of the world, and our thirst only increases because we lack that living moisture from the breath of God that gave us life in the beginning. When the Hebrews were in the desert, they had great thirst under the sun in the desert. Moses struck a rock that poured forth water that slaked their thirst. But still, even though it was a miraculous water, it was still not the breath of the living moisture from God Himself that we needed. In the time of Noah, the desire and the lust and the passions of all of the people, except for Noah and his family who loved God, brought on a flood of the waters of this world. They were death-dealing waters, because the waters of this world that don't quench our thirst, there is no life in them. And life was washed away from the face of the earth, except for that which was preserved along with Noah in the ark. The waters of this world are not a source of life for us. We heard last week of the paralytic who lay by the pool. Christ came. The man said, "I have no one to put me in." Because he had no one, Christ raised him from his paralysis. He didn't take him and put him into the pool, because Christ is the one who brings the living water, the breath of the Holy Spirit, the breath that is the breath of God, that divine moisture that is life itself. He has that in him. He is able to give it to this man miraculously. He ascends the cross in order to be able to give it to all of us. On the cross, there comes that point when Jesus' side is pierced by a sword, and there comes out water and blood. The waters of baptism and the blood of communion come from Christ's death on the cross and his conquest of death. We are baptized into a life where we can receive the living waters that God has brought into the world again. That same divine moisture that was breathed into Adam and Eve, Christ brings and gives to all of us. When we abandon our effort to quench our thirst by way of our passion for the things of the world and are baptized into his life. Now we are baptized as infants, or we are baptized as converts, infants. But baptism is not something that is simply accomplished by that initial act. It has to be taken on us ourselves. We have to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit where we receive the consequences of baptism and abandon our love of the world rather than our desire to have the gift of the water that Fotini says that she desires. Give me this water so that I will thirst no more. That's repentance. Turning away from, returning to the passions of the world. Give me this water instead. Because the waters of this world, when we try to slake our passions by way of pleasure and selfishness and self-love, they cause us to return to them again. They keep us from going to ask for the true waters of life that comes from the breath of God, that comes from the side of Christ, that comes from our death to ourselves and the world, and our sharing of Christ's death on the cross so that we can arise and live a life that is not of this world. Returning to the waters of this world keep us from going there. But when we repent and we go and we say, like Fotini, give me this water, Jesus says we will not have to return in order to slake our thirst by way of our passion for the world. The nature of true repentance. Turning away from what has sustained us in the past with constant thirst and desire and turning again towards something else and moving in that direction. That means not turning around and going back. That's what moving in that direction means. That's what metanoia means. That's what a change of mind, a change of heart means. It doesn't mean at a legal level. If we simply confess, is that repentance? This meaning of the waters of remission of sins, the waters of baptism, it has deep roots in the Old Testament. Perhaps most clearly in the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel had among his visions one particularly magnificent vision that we have to be familiar with, or we won't understand the references to Christ's side or much of the meaning of living water when we talk about that, or when we get to the book of Revelation, there is a great deal there we won't understand. Ezekiel had a vision in which the Lord God led him to the temple. And in the temple, he looked and he saw that there were waters flowing from the right hand gate, the right side to the altar. These waters were flowing from the gate outside of the altar into the altar. And then he was taken to the outside of the temple and faced the temple. And he saw that waters were flowing from the right side of the temple. Understand the reference to Christ's side and the right side of the temple. And then Ezekiel looked and he saw a man with a measure facing the temple. And he measured 1,000 cubits of water at a time in his measure. And he heard it said that these are the waters of remission. And the waters were poured out. And at first, the waters rose up to the level of his ankles. There was so much water, an endless supply of water that was being measured out. And we can remember here, Christ washing the feet of the apostles. That's the beginning, because he is on his way to the cross. He is including them in his journey of this transformation of the life of human beings who need this living water, that he is going to bring back for all of us. Their feet are washed. Here in this vision of Ezekiel, at first the waters rise only up to the ankles of the man. And then he fills the beaker again and again and again and pours it out, and the waters rise up to his knees. And then he keeps doing it, and the waters rise up to his waist. And Ezekiel sees that these waters will continue to rise until no man will be able to swim across these waters. They will cover the earth. But this isn't the flood. These waters are the waters of remission. There is death in these waters, but there is death and resurrection. These are the waters of baptism. We enter already in this life into the waters of baptism, into the waters of a death to our love of this world and ourselves in separation from others and God. No man can swim across these waters. That means no one can survive without being plunged under the water. And finally, giving up a life that is lived from love of the world. The baptismal waters will be the source of life for everyone. And then Ezekiel is taken to the side of a river. And the Lord says, "Son of man, have you seen this?" And he looks and he sees that this river is a great river. And on both sides of the river, there are trees that are filled with life. And he is told by the Lord, this river flows to Galilee. And then it flows through Arabia and to the sea. And the fish and all that live in this water will have life and will be cleansed and will be healed. And along the banks of this river, trees will grow whose leaves never turn, whose leaves are going to be used for healing, and fruit will be borne by these trees that grow along this river every month, not just in season, but in season and out of season. You've heard those words. This river will be the source of life and the transformation of all who live in these waters. That was Ezekiel's vision. And so when Jesus speaks to the Samaritan woman, to Photini, those are the living waters that he's talking about. He has come to open up the floodgates of those waters, because as Ezekiel had been told, this river will become a torrent and will go everywhere and include everyone. In the Acts of the Apostles today, we heard the section read that is sometimes called the Pentecost of the Gentiles, where those who were not Jews, were not members of the race that Christ was a member of, are included in the salvation that, as Votini says, they know comes from the Jews. The Gentiles are included. The torrent is including all of those who will live in this water, who will be baptized and repent in this new Christian way. The waters are given to everyone. And so we have to ask ourselves how much or how different we are from Photini. What is it that we desire? What water is it that we drink from? What is it that enables us to continue our lives as we live them? Are we able to ask along with her, give me this water that I may never return? When Photini leaves the well, her water pot that she had come to collect water in is left at the well. She has a new source of life in her. And she takes that source of life and she calls others to come and see, come to a source of a river of life that is now flowing through me. It is the nature of the Christian life that we have liberation and freedom from death, that we have liberation and freedom from constant thirst for the things of this world. And as we move closer toward the day when we will celebrate the ascension of Christ, let us consider what these things mean to us in our own lives. Are we willing to live the rest of our lives in constant thirst for pleasures that will never satisfy us until our bodies slowly are no longer able even to desire the things of this world in the same way that we did? We reach the point where we desire to be able to desire the things of this world rather than repentance. It is a kind of desert future for our spirit, for our soul. But the life is there. The river is there. It has given life to millions and millions of saints who live in these waters and even before their death to this world, lived in those waters, and others who did not have that source of life in them were amazed that there could be such human beings. But we are called to be such human beings. Let us at least let Christ wash our feet. Let us make a beginning as far as our entrance, really and truly in our lives, to live in the waters that give us life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.